at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Good morning, St. Louis, and welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and I'm here to help you tackle all your home maintenance and remodeling dilemmas. Whether you're facing a leaky faucet, planning a kitchen renovation, or simply looking to spruce up your living space, I've got what you need right here today. We're diving into your deep, burning questions, so pick up the phone, like you said, and dial 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 to join in the conversation. From plumbing to painting, leaking to lighting, no topic is off limits for you. Let's roll up our sleeves and make your home improvement dreams a reality. Stick around with me for that today. Again, you can find me right here, 314-436-7900. And you know, we are in St. Louis. We've got some, you know, good things, interesting things around coming up. I actually heard a couple days ago on a weather forecast that February was February went on record as the second highest temperature February ever. It is like the warmest February we've had, just the second warmest ever. So, wow, has it been, you know, a great winter so far, at least through February. And, you know, it's going to be warm. We've got some temperatures coming up, like Scott was saying. We've got some mid-70s to high 70s tomorrow, Monday. So for everybody, it's time. Break out your grills, your smokers, get to the butcher. Let's, you know, get some barbecuing going on. This weekend, we're going to have some really good weather for getting something cooked up outside for sure. And, of course, it's March. March has now begun. And moving quickly this year into March, again, is that daylight savings time. So second Sunday in March, which is, you know, a week away, March 10th this year, we're going to be changing those clocks. So we'll get more light, more time, more daytime. I know myself and everybody probably really enjoys having that one come, and it doesn't hurt my feelings to come a little bit early this year for sure. I'm loving that. So it'll be good to get a little more daylight throughout the day. And for me, if you know, anybody that's, you know, a little newer at this, if you're interested in, you know, who am I, what am I doing, what do I do? First of all, you can call in and ask me, again, anything that you want, even if it's about me or what I do on a daily basis, anything around your house, 314-436-7900. But for me, my day job, I'm a senior sales consultant for Mosby Building Arts. I've got over 30 years experience as far as building, remodeling, you know, kitchens, bathrooms, room additions, actually performing the work, managing the work. Then started in, you know, about 12, 14 years or so ago into the actual consulting role. You know, Scott Mosby's vision, I think, at that time was, let's get some knowledge, some understanding, and some education, you know, brought in to that first role for everybody. And that way we can, you know, let people know what's happening, how it needs to be done, what needs to be done. And working for Scott for so many years, it was indeed the first place that I came to work where, you know, they wanted me to know more. Scott basically came to me and you know, asked me questions about what don't I like about this industry that I work in? Why do I switch jobs? Why was I looking for another company to be with? How do we better the situation for me and all of our employees so that we can better the situation also for our clients and everything. So being the first place that really came to me and said, we want you to know more. We want you to understand more so that you can help everybody. The first place to really start training me and you know, I started learning and getting, you know, certified in roofing, siding, and moisture, you know, being trained by the Building Performance Institute and learning about the house, you know, scientifically, lead safe practices, becoming, you know, certified renovator in that, master shingle applicator, all these things to further educate me so that I can not only get things right, but also further educate you in doing all of this. So that is really the goal right here today. What's happening with my day job, but also what's happening getting the opportunity, and I really appreciate that opportunity to come in here and really just educate people, learn from you guys, the questions, the comments, the concerns, what's going on around your house, and being able to help answer, and getting, you know, when I don't know, someone calling in to say, let me help out with that, because I am a licensed electrician. I've run into that, or I'm a licensed plumber, and I've seen that, and here's an idea of what might be going on outside of, you know, the thought that was there. I love that, too. All of that in the conversation is really a great, great thing. Today, I'm right here for you. You can join in the conversation. Again, 314-436-7900. Anything you have going on around your home. So we will have more calls, questions, answers, topics right after this. We'll get into our first break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, we are back and got some great things, great topics we can go over today. Great things to talk about. I've got a nice long list for you, but again, remember, my goal is to help you solve whatever dilemmas, questions, maintenance, maintaining things, whatever you have around your home. I can help you today. And we're here, you know, we've got Cardinals baseball will be coming into the top of the hour, but I've got three segments here for you. So plenty of time to get with you and get your questions answered. 314-436-7900. And again, I was talking about, you know, my day job, what I do for a living, and going around visiting people, seeing what they're after, hearing their stories. That's definitely the favorite part of what I do. I was just kind of going over this with a few people in the office the other day, of just getting to meet so many interesting personalities, people, hear their stories. What are they after? What dilemmas do they have? What are they trying to accomplish? So I'm, you know, getting to hear those stories, and I really enjoy that for sure. And I love to help them and educate them on what can happen, what can't happen, what makes it, you know, difficult for maybe their project, and getting them to some kind of educated conclusion, answer on what's feasible for what they would like to do. We see a lot of different types of projects, and that's what I get to do all day, every day, and being here. Absolutely love it. And we've got our first call here today. So let's jump on the line with George and see what's going on. George, are you with me? Can you hear me? Thanks for calling.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So I got mold in the ceiling and drywall of my garage. I got up in the attic above the garage, and there's no mold up there, so it's only on the inside part of the garage, not the ceiling. So number one, I was wondering how should I go about cleaning it? But the other thing is, I'd like to know what would cause it. There's no leaks whatsoever. And number two, how do I prevent it from coming back? That's my question.
So that is definitely a common thing. Has your garage ceiling, is it just plain drywall, or has it had any kind of primer or paint put on it?
Yes, it's been primed and painted.
Okay. So commonly what is happening with that is basically just condensation, temperature difference and just having high levels of humidity in the garage. When it's humid outside, it's humid at the garage. The garage, door opens and closes. It's basically tempered like outside. You can do things to try and insulate it better. But when you do get that cold or hot temperature in there, it doesn't really go away that fast. So you're really up against like an air circulation, condensation, high humidity type situation that's causing this. So the thing to do for it now is to really clean it up. There's products out there that is meant for cleaning up mold and everything. If it's really, really bad, we would definitely recommend, if there's really bad spots or really dark spots, cutting out the drywall where it's really bad and replacing that drywall. Once it's on the paper, that's kind of a hard thing to clean up. But in the garage, I think if it's not too bad, you can use some of those professional mold cleaners, clean it up, and then use like a stain kill blocker to paint the ceiling and get it refreshed. But what you're looking for from that point on is really trying to change the circumstance of the humidity, the temperature differences. So I would recommend you could insulate the ceiling of the garage to try and keep that temperature from the attic space and the garage separated. If you have an attic access in the garage, seal that well. It could still be a drywall opening access, but you want to put like some rubber kind of sealant tape on the trim and insulate the backside of that lid really well. And that way it will keep the air separate from the garage to the attic space. And insulated garage doors wouldn't hurt for the times. And then considering some sort of air circulation kind of device, maybe an exhaust fan that runs when humidity level gets high in the garage. If you had a fan on a humidistat sensor that you could kind of set once the humidity's above, 48% or 50%, run this fan, circulate air, and try and change that circumstance of what's happening.
And what about a dehumidifier?
That could help, but really out in the garage, the issue I see with that is you really get, it's going to be doing a lot. And when humidity is high and you open the garage door and you close it, it's going to run a lot, it's going to work a lot, and it's going to probably wear out a lot. You'll
gotcha.
It won't last as long as, when you have it in your basement or inside your house or something like that, because the humidity is a little more controlled. So you're dealing with outside humidity levels. So I would lean towards a good size CFM exhaust fan that will take that air out and take it back to the outside and just circulate it. And you can try both too, because doing both of those and a dehumidifier might, help too. But I would start out with the circulation more than anything and see how well that solves your problem. And you will just be up against this a little bit because of the conditions where you're at and in the garage. And it may just be a cleanup and good paint job again, every 5 years or so to get that taken care of and refreshed just more often than you need to do inside the home.
Okay, makes sense. So heating and air conditioning could put that in for me? The exhaust fan? Or who would I go for that?
Yeah, heating and air conditioning company could definitely do that. A company like Mosby Building Arts that does all sorts of things that, you know, when we do anyone similar to us that does bathroom fan stuff, they just need to think a little bit outside the box of the size. This is going to be something you're probably ordering from like Granger and not buying off the rack at right. Home Depot because of the size of the garage and everything.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Very helpful.
Yes, very, very welcome. Appreciate the call. Great question. Something that is really, really common. And the other thing that does start to happen with that is the drywall will start to kind of bow a little, and it'll start to get nail pops, screw pops, and you, fixing that when you go to paint, making sure it's secure is also a great idea for that process when you go to clean up, refresh, repaint, okay. All of that. So definitely do that. So appreciate the call. Great question. I think we should probably get into our second break here. If Jim can hold the line through the break, we will jump to you right when we return after this. All right, we are back, and we have plenty of time here for everybody. Give us a call today, 314-436-7900. We've got the Cardinals coming in at the top of the hour. If you're here and you want to stick around and listen to the Cardinals, that is great. If you want more home improvement in the second hour, I will still be around. Just switch over to 97.1 FM. Same lines, same questions, same conversation, 314-436-7900. You can reach me there in the second hour also. But as promised, we got Jim on the line. Thanks for holding through the break there, Jim. Can you hear me? What do you got going on?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've had my water turned off for about 3 weeks, and when I turned it back on, I noticed my water pressure regulator seems to be leaking. Are those fixable?
Yeah, they can be repaired. There's internal parts that the plumbers can take out, and there's spring in there and everything, and they can take it apart and kind of redo it and rebuild that. I would venture to guess that most licensed plumbing companies will probably find it less expensive to just change the whole part out. Well, it's kind of a labor
society
thing
today. Yeah,
well, it is, and we are in this throwaway kind of society, and part of what drives us there is the labor shortage and the labor rates. And so when you look at it, you go, well, I can buy this for $70 and replace it in an hour or two, or I can pay $30 for parts and fix it in 4 hours, but you've got someone that's charging $120 an hour. It just stacks up less money to throw it out and just get a new one and make it quicker.
Sure. Yeah. So that's kind of what I figured, but
yep. So it can be done, but I don't know that anybody will want to do it, unfortunately.
Right. Okay. So just probably need to buy a new one. So I see there are a lot of options out there. Any suggestions on particular brands, models, water pressure rates, whatever?
Not really for the pressure regulator. I would just ask I would look at going to a plumbing supply house.
Sure.
And then I would ask them the brand that they recommend.
Okay.
So instead of going to like a big box store and just buying one off a shelf, if you actually communicate with the people that sell and deal with these on a daily basis, and they can look at you and go, well, we've got two brands and every licensed plumber that comes in buys this one. Then you go,
gotcha.
Yep, that's a great idea then. because okay. They're doing it for a reason. Less callbacks, absolutely. More reliable. That sort of thing. But I don't have a preference off the top of my head.
Yeah. Okay. No. Yep. Good advice. I probably will follow that then. I thank you very much.
Awesome. Hey, no, you're very welcome. Thanks for the call. Great question. And thinking about that theory on a lot of different products, I feel is very important to talk to the people that deal with that or those specific products or fixing those things or installing what you're looking for. I think is very important to ask, listen, and take advice of the experts and the people that do this all of the time. I can tell you a story about a friend of mine that tried to, he went to install his own water heater. It was a tankless water heater. And what he did was he looked at Consumer Reports. And Consumer Reports tested a bunch of different models of tankless water heaters. So he comes out and gets all this information and says, this model tankless water heater is the most efficient and it tested well in all of these categories. So he goes to a plumbing supply warehouse and the big DIY guy does a lot of stuff himself, says, I think I can follow instructions and tackle this, says, I would like to buy this brand tankless water heater at this size so it'll fit and work and, you know, run my house. And the gentleman behind the counter said, oh, are you sure you want that brand? And he said, well, yeah, I mean, it really bodes well. And it came up with, you know, and great Consumer Reports. And the gentleman behind the counter was like, we don't have a lot of plumbers purchasing or installing them. I'm just going to tell you that. So I don't know what, where, when, or why, but it's just not preferred. He's like, well, I think that's what I want. So he gets it. And during the process, he's having a lot of problems trying to get it to work properly. And he thinks, well, I just probably need to, I got installed, it's running, this is happening, I just can't get it to work 100%. Calls a few plumbers, can you work on this? Well, they're out there, they're refusing. They're going, we don't want to work on that brand. And so he calls me and starts asking me about it. And I said the same thing. Well, you didn't buy this brand, did you? And he says, yeah. And I'm like, mm-hmm. It's because they're just so hard to deal with, set up, install. It takes so much more time. And then when something goes wrong, they're from another country and it's hard to get parts and it takes long and they're harder to work on and they're harder to keep running. But once they're going, according to Consumer Reports, it's the best thing on the market. But it's just so much more difficult that the pros don't want to do it. So thinking about that with every aspect of an appliance professional, anything like that, you know, asking advice, an electrician, what, you know, what do you see, what do you like and why, and what do you have problems with and what don't you have problems with, I think is just a really good thing to do to get good educated advice, like what I'm trying to do on a daily basis on projects and how things need to happen and all of that. So definitely, hopefully that is some good advice that could help you out. We've got plenty of time here right now. If you've got something just drilling in your brain, if you've got a question, if you've got a project, anything happening around your house, 314-436-7900. Like I said, after we break for Cardinals here in a little bit, we've got plenty of time between now and then, but stick around for Cardinals. It'll be a good time. If you want to hear more of what's going on here or you have any other questions, you want to be a part of the second hour, just switch over to 97.1 FM with me. Same phone numbers. Get you right at me on that program to 314-436-7900. So that'll be in the next hour. But, you know, going around, like I'm talking about, helping people out, what they're looking to do. You know, I've had a couple of interesting conversations in the past week or so, and sometimes it's even hard for me. I feel bad sometimes because I end up being the what we might call the bearer of bad news, or explaining like what can or can't be done, or the maybes and why. And I recently had a job site where, you know, they want to finish some of their basement and they would like to add a bathroom. And when they built the house, they had the rough-in put in for a full bathroom. And of course they're, well, and we don't need the shower. We just need a powder room down here, so we don't need to use the shower drain. But we've already got the rough-in for the actual full bathroom, and or we could do a powder room. I'm looking at, you know, the way it's laid out, and I had to, unfortunately, and I see way too much of this, especially in new construction, because people just, workers, no one thinking of the next phase or the next step. Like, I'll do this rough-in, but will it work later on with other things? The plumber's not necessarily concerned with how the house is being held up or where those supports are. So he roughs in for a 5x8 bathroom, which very easily gets shrunken down to 5x5 powder room. You got your toilet, you got your vanity drain, but where the door would possibly go in this plumbing layout with four walls around it, there is a steel pipe column underneath the I-beam right in the middle of that. No chance that you can actually have a door to walk in. And behind all of that, where there's a possibility with the layout of a door going on the other second wall, is the furnace and the water heater. So there's no chance of door coming in there, no chance of door coming in where the pipe column is. So unfortunately, I'm kind of explaining to them, this can be done. It's not that it can't be done, but this is the way they laid it out. This is the way it would be done easily. Now we have to figure some things out, move some things around, do a little designing. You might end up with an odd-shaped bathroom if we don't relocate some of this plumbing. Or we flip things around the other way and we end up breaking out some of your floor to move where that toilet sits so that you can then have a square room again as just in kind of the other side of the plumbing stack or something like that. Not what they were hoping to hear, you know, that you paid very little money for this rough-in when you had the house built 20 years ago, but now that we're thinking about the actual product, it really isn't going to work out the way that everybody had planned and just didn't have the forethought of how is that bathroom positioned, where do the walls go, and all of that, and where are the pipe columns, and how does that lay out and happen. So definitely need some designing to look at and figure out. You know, there's definitely a way it can be done without moving plumbing, and maybe it's just a little bit of an odd-shaped bathroom. It's a little bigger in order to get the space to put a door, and the toilet might be kind of set back, if you can imagine that. But that's the sort of thing we run into, unfortunately, way, way too much, too common. You know, just it is very unfortunate that the forethought isn't all the way through there. And I had another client that was looking for a garage, and they were thinking, well, I have a two-car garage. If I can build out two cars wide in front of that, and they have a decent-sized lot, they have a big front yard, so if I just kind of shorten the driveway, put another two-car garage, and then I can kind of park four cars tandem, two cars wide, that would give me a bigger garage to be able to park more cars, keep them sheltered inside, protected, all of that. And kind of looking at that, it's like, well, if you their house to the side property line, it sits kind of at an angle, and their lot is kind of angled. So I was fortunately explaining to them, I don't even know that we could do it once we look at the plot plan and how close we can actually build to the side property line. Right now, the corner of their garage is about 5 feet from the side property line, but it's angled. So if we come forward, you know, another 18, 20 feet deep and try and build a structure, I'm probably going to be 2 or 3 feet from that side property line with the new front corner of the garage, depending on, you know, the municipality and the things that they are having their rules. And every place is different. Every municipality's got different setbacks. And so having the plot plan to see those things and find out and understand is a good thing when we come out to look at building out, making the house bigger, doing pretty much anything on the exterior. It's a great idea to have that plot plan survey, as we call it, there and ready so we can see that and maybe make some of those assessments right then. But again, it's like, oh, I hate being that bearer of bad news occasionally where it's like, I don't know that the municipality's going to let us build this because of where and how it sits. And if we try and change it or move it, we're just getting into so much. So some of those things, great ideas, great thoughts, just get put to bed way quicker than anybody hoped, you know, and going in to look at it. And I had another one where they were looking to add for a master bedroom, like a walk-in closet off of their second floor master bedroom. And he's real easy right here, you know, on top of the garage. So we cut away some of the roof and we build this walk-in closet addition, and we don't need a foundation. And I'm kind of like, well, you might need some sort of foundation. That's where, you know, depending on how we can figure it out, how big it is, with the width of the garage, we only have kind of two choices. We either need a beam, an I-beam, or something big enough, tall enough, long enough, and with enough strength to support a wall being built out. And you're talking 20 feet wide, 22 feet wide, you know, 20-something foot long I-beam to hold up a floor and a wall. Or a lot of times what happens to avoid that is you end up with that steel pipe column I was talking about, goes down through into your garage, right in the middle of that garage floor, and you break out and you pour a footing down there and you put a steel pipe column that goes up, and now you're trying to park two cars around this column. So size and all that ends up depending on where we position that, where do the cars park, is this pipe in the way? So there's still some structural decisions to be made when looking at, you know, going on top of a garage with the span and all of that, and how you accomplish that. A lot of procedures, a lot of parts to the puzzle to figure out and get accomplished. So again, for everybody out there, we've got another hour coming up. Looking forward to it. Can't wait. We just need to switch over to 97.1. You can still find me. Get to me in the second hour, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You'll still find me there. We'll have a whole nother hour for your questions, your calls, your comments, your concerns, anything happening around the house. Everybody at KMOX that wants to hear Cardinal baseball pregame show, all of that, stick around right here. I'm sure you'll have a great time with that. Can't wait to see what the Cardinals do today. Go Cards. I will be back at the beginning of the next hour on 97.1.